that is 012307, and it is Brunt versus Local 150 Service Employees International Union.
May it please the court, I am Ms. Schindel, counsel for Lynn Brunt, David Wodinski, and John Wittenberg. This case comes before the court as part of a long line of successive cases dealing with the issues of the rights of union members, which are protected by federal law. In this case, the three plaintiffs were three union members who also served as business agents for the Local Service Employees, LSEI. They had had long careers as business agents, and during one particular election, Mr. Wodinski, as a part of a movement against corruption of the current union president, chose to run for that office. He was supported in those efforts by Mr. Wittenberg. Ms. Brunt, a third business agent, exercised her right to remain neutral and supported neither candidate. Upon President Iverson's re-election to that office, all three were fired because they had not campaigned on his behalf in their capacity as union members during his bid for re-election. Subsequently, we brought an action on their behalf in the district court. There was an initial complaint which was then amended to add a second cause of action. On a motion to dismiss on the basis of pleadings alone and before discovery had occurred, the district court dismissed that action and refused to accept the amended complaint, which added an additional cause of action.
Of course, the judge said that you had conceded below that the plaintiff's membership in the union was impacted by the actions of the defendant solely because their membership was wholly contingent on being union employees. And if you did concede that, then isn't the Supreme Court decision in Finnegan dispositive?
That fact was never conceded, Your Honor, in any respect. And in fact, we argued throughout an extensive briefing that it was their protected status as union members that was at issue. These individuals all filed grievances after they were terminated as union members, and the union refused to process those grievances. Then the union expelled them. And the district court made a serious error, in fact, in holding in its decision that they could have remained union members by being employed in the bargaining unit. Those facts were never, in fact, before the district court.
Well, could they remain union members if they went with another employer?
No, they were
in the same union.
They were career business agents, and they represented health care units.
And they could never be relieved of their position as business agents?
No, our issue is not their being relieved as business agents. We recognize that the United States Supreme Court established.
Okay, so but how would you do it? How would you keep them as union members if they're not business agents? They're not trained to be anything but business agents.
You accept their dues and you process their grievances because they have paid dues and they have rights as union members.
Their grievances, I understand, was they were being fired.
Their grievances were the basis for their being terminated. And they had a right as union members to have those grievances processed.
Well, as I understand, they can be fired by incoming president because they didn't support them.
They can be fired, but they cannot be expelled from the union and refused.
Or catch 22, how do they keep their their position just by paying dues? What good is
by
that?
By paying dues until they are able to find additional positions.
And is that what they attempted to do?
Yes, they tendered dues, and the dues were rejected. They filed grievances as union members. The union refused to process the grievances. Then the union, at the direction of its leadership, expelled all three individuals from the union. And it is those attacks on their rights as union members that are the basis of this action.
So then your claim falls, I mean, all that is evidence that really supports your Section 102 claim.
Yes,
right?
It is, in part. And the Section 102 claim, we believe, should have been accepted as an amended cause of action. Judge, the district court ruled that that claim could not be accepted because it was futile. And in doing so, he again made a serious error because he took every inference of fact in favor of the defendants when the law requires him to take every inference of fact in favor of the plaintiff, not the defendant.
Well, all this evidence you've outlined clearly fits, I think, or could fit under Section 102, and you're trying to show some kind of pattern of suppressing dissent.
Yes.
In terms of the 609 section, because the president has an absolute right to fire someone, I guess I'm having a little difficulty with that. And I guess your response is just the fact that they tendered dues, they should have been able to have their grievances heard, they still have a claim under 609.
Yes, their grievances were as union members.
Was the grievance that they had been fired?
It was the way in which they were fired, Your Honor. The grievances were never processed.
I know, but if we start with the premise that they can be fired, then what is the product of the grievance?
Because in the process of having a grievance heard and developing the facts, we may have learned additional information. These plaintiffs were denied that opportunity. They believe...
I mean, if I am fired for cause, I am entitled to another... I mean, everybody knows I'm entitled for a reason that everybody agrees I can be fired for. Then I'm entitled to explore that?
You're entitled to determine whether, in fact, the evidence to support your firing existed.
But the firing would be... As I understand it, he could subjectively fire somebody because he didn't think they were following what he wanted them to do.
He could have fired him for that, but
well,
there were issues...
Well, how do you explore that? It's a subjective decision to fire somebody because they're not, in your opinion, able to support your position.
Because if that individual is a union member, they have a right to have their side of the story.
But if there is no side to the story, that is, I do not believe that you can do what I want you to do, and I fire you for that reason, and that I can do, can't I?
Yes, but in...
Well, then, having done that, what is there to explore?
Well, let me give you one example. In the Brunt case, she was given two reasons. Had her grievance been processed...
Well, what if all he said was, I don't think you can support my position. You have not indicated your willingness, and I do not believe you are one that's going to support me.
If that had occurred, then, Your Honor, you would be correct. But in Brunt's case, when she was fired...
She was neutral.
She was fired for being neutral.
Right.
There
that
is no
supporting your position.
There is no evidence that she could not have functioned in her job.
You weren't listening to me. If you are not supporting me, I don't think you're able to support me. That's a subjective decision. You didn't support me in the past. You're not going to support me in the future. You can't. And that's the end of that, isn't it?
There was no evidence that Brunt had not supported Iverson and anybody.
But even if irrelevant,
yes.
if she stood neutral, and we accept that
yes.
she stood neutral, he still had a right to fire her.
Yes, but when she was fired, Your Honor, she was given two reasons.
So what?
And,
you know, so one
denied a grievance to explore whether, in fact, that was the real reason.
But then we get to the point Judge Bauer is making. So let's assume that there were other reasons, and there were all these other reasons. It would be of no moment if the president had the right to fire her. So if it was reason C instead of reason A, what difference would it make?
Said I got a right to fire you, and besides right. that you got pimples. I mean, it would make a part of a difference, would it?
It does. It's a due process right, Your Honor.
Oh, okay.
It's the same as a criminal's right to have a trial by his peers, even if he or she may be found guilty.
So I guess we're getting to also what's the harm. So even if the grievance should have been heard, ultimately, it wouldn't have made any difference, whatever the reason was, because he had a absolute right to fire her.
If she were only a business agent, she was not. And these individuals were also union members. They were dues-paying members. They had rights as members, which were taken away from them. Okay, thank you. May I add one? I'll do it in rebuttal. I reserve time. I have 1 point for the court.
Well, I'm going to give it.
I'd like to direct the court's decision to sit in Harvey, where this court recognized that there is an exception where there's membership that is affected under Thompson.
Thank you.
And I'll elaborate on rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Robbins, as a practical matter, was there any way for the plaintiffs to continue as union members once they were discharged?
They would have to get a job in a union-represented facility. For example, this is a union of janitors and nursing home workers, so they would go get a job working for a janitorial company or a nursing home. Now, let's think of what plaintiffs are saying.
So then if they got that job somewhere, then their grievance would be processed. Let's assume they go on to a nursing home. And because her point is that they didn't get their grievance processed, so they go to nursing home too. They get a job. They're in the union, and would their grievances be heard then?
There's no grievance procedure. They're not a grievance procedure. For example, is what's under a collective bargaining agreement. They weren't covered by a collective bargaining agreement. They were appointed patronage employees.
So her argument about due process.
There is no due process.
That's your position.
There is no grievance procedure. They're employees at will of the principal officer. Think of it this way. Mr. Wodzinski was an appointed business agent. He decided he opposed the policies of the incumbent leadership. He ran in the election. He lost that election. Under plaintiff's theory, he would have to be retained in employment merely because of the fact that there's not a union-represented job waiting for him after his termination. That's completely contrary to Finnegan. Now, with regard to the question you asked opposing counsel, not only below, but in their brief here, they conceded that point. Union, they were professional business agents, not originally from the rank and file. Their union rights were entirely contingent on their employment with the union. That's page 21 of their appellate brief. When they allege their violation for each of these plaintiffs, they make the following identical allegation, first in paragraph 62 of the complaint. The local violated the Title I of LMRDA by terminating Brunt for exercising her right to free speech, which they have the right to do under Finnegan, which resulted in her rights and status as a member being similarly terminated. So the only difference between this case and Brunt is, in this case and Finnegan is, that these business agents had never been rank and file members and would have had to go out and find a job, whereas the business agents in Finnegan who were terminated for exercising their right to oppose Lou had been rank-and-file members. Under plaintiff's theory, you'd have this anomalous situation. If I had been a rank-and-file member who was appointed to be a business agent and had a job maybe not to go back to, I can be fired merely for opposing the leadership, or even if the leadership believes I'm neutral. That's the Hodge case. But that if I had never been a rank-and-file member and got a job as a business agent, then I'm protected and I can be as disloyal as I want to and oppose the leadership as much as I want to and cannot be subject to termination. That turns Finnegan on its head.
Let's move to the 102 claim, because don't you agree that you can have a cause of action under 102 if a union employee is terminated by the president as part of a purposeful and deliberate attempt to suppress dissent within the union? There could be such a complaint.
Yes.
And isn't the proposed amendment complaint sufficient The amendment complaint doesn't have to spell out all the facts, and shouldn't the court have given them the opportunity to file that amended complaint with the various facts she outlined earlier in her argument? You heard her.
Let's look at the facts they alleged in their amendment to the complaint. They alleged Iverson said, "I'm going to fire people who opposed me or did not support me in the election." In other words, he was saying he was going to do what he had a right to do under Finnegan. He then, they allege, had them fired for not supporting him. He did what he had a right to do under Finnegan. The sole other allegation is that he told some members to keep an eye on Ms. Brunt after she said she was going to be neutral and was not going to support him in the election. That doesn't amount to a pattern of suppressing the dissent of the rank-and-file members of the union. That narrow exception under Finnegan versus Lew, and of course they had Finnegan a year and a half before they tried to amend their complaint, because we gave it to them. That narrow exception goes to the rank-and-file members, not to the business agent. In fact, in Finnegan, there wasn't one business agent who was discharged. He fired the whole bunch of business agents, and clearly that isn't the pattern of stifling dissent. So the facts they were going to allege in their amended complaint simply wouldn't meet that narrow exception to Finnegan versus Lew.
Even if Iverson was openly threatening to fire anyone who didn't support him for re-election, because then couldn't threats like that chill dissent from non-employee union members as well as the employees?
He threatened. He said he was going to fire staff who opposed him. And that's his right to do. So he can't be doing something illegal by saying, "I'm going to do what the Supreme Court has said I have a right to do." That's why this just doesn't come within that narrow exception in Finnegan, and they should have known it a year and a half before they tried to amend the complaint. And that brings me to my last point. We cross-appealed on the denial of sanctions in this case. That is an abuse of discretion standard. However, it's abuse of discretion if the improper standard is applied by the court below. Whether a legal theory is so meritless as to be frivolous is an objective standard. It is not based on did someone read the case that we gave them, did they try to distinguish the case, but was there any objective merit to the argument? Here, as we've argued, there simply is no merit to the argument, and they knew it, or they should have known it, long before they brought this action. The judge, in his decision, said, well, they looked at the case, they tried to distinguish it. That's a subjective standard. That's not what Rule 11 says. He should have found that the case was frivolous on an objective standard, because it is. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. I'm going to give you 1 minute. You know, you used your time up, but we'll give you 1 minute.
I wanted to direct the court to the Sixth Circuit's decision in Thompson v. OPEIU, decided in 1996, post-Finnegan, and recognized by this court in its decision in Harvey v. Hollenbach in 1997. It is to that case I direct your attention because it is directly on point. If the Sixth Circuit found that a union business agent who is fired and then expelled from membership with no notice and no opportunity to be heard can prove that the termination is part of a scheme by the defendants to suppress the right of free speech and assembly, and that this is an issue of fact to be determined at trial under the clear and convincing standard.
I just have one question, if you can answer yes or no. In your amended complaint, did you specifically say that he would fire anyone who didn't support him, or he would fire staff who didn't support him
as part of
the pattern?
He said anyone.
And that's what you
said. And it is in that document, anyone. That's the word, not staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you very much. And